Guess what day it is?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
First time in our nation's history that a woman will be a major party's nominee.
I am pretty good in arithmetic, and I know that the fight in front of us is a very, very steep fight. But we will continue to fight for every vote and every delegate we can get.
Together, we accomplish what nobody thought was absolutely possible. And you know what that is? We're only getting started, and it's going to be beautiful.
Unity is better than division. Empowerment is better than resentment. And bridges are better than walls.
I understand the responsibility of carrying the mantle, and I will never, ever let you down.
Next Tuesday, we continue the fight in the last primary in Washington, D.C.
You don't want me? I'll be sitting in the yard. Just bring me a water. Not a bottle of water. Why would you spend money on that? What's the matter with you? Give me a glass of water. Maybe say hi when you leave and go have fun with your friends. I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm sitting in your yard. Bernie Sanders. Oh, what a run it was. How about Hillary Clinton? Listen, no matter what I think or you think or anybody thinks of Hillary Clinton, this is a milestone. This is a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal that America has finally nominated a woman to a major party ticket for president of the United States.
For the first time in its history.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, but, you know, savor the moment.
There's some technical moments that people will throw up, but the fact of the matter is, this is the first time.
Absolutely.
So congratulations to Hillary Clinton. Let the fight begin with Donald J. Trump, the new all-mature Donald Trump that you saw last night. I'm sure that'll last. So the Clinton speech was, it was fine. It was fine. It's fun.
I thought it was okay, too. You know what, though, Steve? Honestly, I wish Hillary, and I am very excited that there is going to be a female contender for president, but I wish when she did her speech, she wouldn't, it seems to me a lot of times like she's reading. We are happy that, you know, just talk to me.
She seemed tired.
She did seem tired, as she should be.
You know, I'm telling you what, maybe when you're 69.
Sure.
And you're running for president 7 days a week, it'll catch up to you. But it's a big, big moment. And if you have a daughter like I do, Dave, like you do, or mm-hmm. if you are female, mm-hmm. like you is.
Like I am, yeah.
Yes, like you is, like Mary is. You know, you should take stock in the moment.
It's a great
stop
moment.
Down for the moment.
And it was exactly moment. 8 years to the day that she lost.
Is that right? Eight years to the day? I did not know that. So congratulations to the Clinton side. I'm sure there won't be any questions going forward about anything other than issues.
Yes, of course not.
And there is a little bit of news this morning.
Oh, you're going to ruin the party already?
No, I'm just going to tell you that we're ready to project that the Associated Press and CBS News are projecting a winner finally in California. It is Hillary Clinton beating Bernie Sanders.
I demand a recount. Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's going to be
56. I want you, Steve Grzanich, to go to Stockton and recount every vote.
I can't even listen to him anymore without thinking of the Saturday Night Live skits.
Of soup.
Makes me laugh.
Soup and toast.
I want soup, I want toast, and I want a cabinet position.
Yeah.
In that order.
Do you notice,
soup, toast, chair.
Did you notice Bernie's speech last night? He didn't rip her one time.
No.
He didn't project
himself.
That's
why he'll never be a Republican.
Right. Well, he didn't say, in every speech he's given, he'll say, when I am president, or blah, blah, blah. He didn't say that last night, nor did he take any digs at Hillary.
No. He's actually angling for a game show. He's hoping to get a game show. There's a lot of game shows coming back. Match Game is coming back.
They need a new host for The Apprentice.
They do need a new host for The Apprentice because Schwarzenegger's voting for somebody other than Donald.
That's apropos, isn't it?
Yeah, I think yeah, for a politician.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think they already have a host. I think Bernie Sanders should do Tattletales. Remember with the banana section?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the blueberry section.
I love to tell the truth, though. That was
banana section, let me hear you.
Let's make a deal. That could be Bernie.
Let's make a deal. Well, you know what? That's on. Let's make a deal's on. You work for a living, so, you know, I leave at 10. But let's make a deal's on with the guy from whose line? Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady.
Oh.
Yeah, Wayne Brady.
Bernie could easily do that. Curtain.
There's
number
a woman wearing a shower curtain and a Yankees cap. Do you have an egg beater in your pocket? Bernie could host anything. Hell of a run by Bernie Sanders. This is not just some fly-by-night situation. This was the real deal. And pushed Clinton all the way to the convention. And the Democrats, by the way, are meeting to talk about their platform today. I remember when I was a little kid, I thought platform meant they would literally take some lumber and build a platform for people to stand on. But what the Democrats will actually run on, and Sanders has two or three seats on that committee, I forget. Maybe it's four. I think he has four, Hillary has five. And they're going to try to figure out exactly what the main tenets of the Democrats' run will be. And what is a big deal? It's tradition. And it does trickle down to the other races because it's stuff that the other candidates can run on in states around the country. Trump last night didn't mention the Mexican-American judge from Indiana who's more American than he is once. Not once. So you would hope that this would mean a shift to the issues. And if he does shift to the issues, I'll actually, you know, congratulate him on it. He's still, by the way, I haven't invited him on a show in a long time because he always says no. Again, Donald Trump is welcome here anytime. My dream is Donald Trump and Mike Madigan come in on the same day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, oh, geez.
We'd be fantastic.
Boy, this showcase studio might implode.
No. No. Maybe, and then maybe Mitch McConnell in the corner looking sad.
Steve, are you confused?
No, I'm not, you condescending creep. It's 6:16, and we got traffic here, and then Mary later in the hour, I'm going to check in with Karen Conti, and I'm going to ask her what we need to do to determine my competency to continue to do this show.
Wow.
You know, you do a competency trial.
You're on trial?
A competency hearing. Well, I'm not, I haven't been charged with anything, though certainly I should be.
Who's your lawyer?
Karen Conti.
Oh, she is your lawyer.
But
she was the judge.
If I'm going to ask Madigan and Cullerton and Redonio and Durkin and Rauner to all go through competency hearings, because clearly they're all crazy, I need to determine whether or not I'm crazy. So I will take the test first.
Okay, well, because we've had our opinions on this for a while.
Oh, don't think you're not taking it, too.
Yeah, do we get to testify?
Really?
No, you're all taking it.
Oh, what?
All of your competencies will be tested.
I think I'm competent.
Hey, take it to HR if you don't like my rules.
Okay, baby.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
I asked Karen Conti to join me a little early this time because I want to talk to her about this competency hearing that I need her to represent me in. I mean, I haven't technically hired you for this. Will you represent me in a competency hearing?
I sure will.
All right.
Anything for you, Steve. Anything. Even the most impossible of all things I would do for you.
In other words, determining my competency. here's the premise. Because this the politics in the state are so sideways, I believe that the people running the state are cuckoo. So I believe they should submit to a competency hearing, much like the ones you see in court presented as evidence all the time, and whether someone's fit to stand trial or not. So I want to determine if these people are fit to run the government. Starting with Madigan, of course, but Madigan, Rauner, Cullerton, Redonio, Durkin, and I'm going off the top of my head, and I forgot somebody again.
Durkin.
No, I got everybody.
Yeah,
got
Durkin,
everybody.
Redonio, Cullerton, Madigan, yeah.
So your four tops and your governor. So tell me, because I don't know the process here, when someone has to have a competency hearing, what happens?
Well, basically, you have to have a doctor say that you are not able to conduct business because you have some sort of mental defect.
Exactly.
And then the judge decides whether or not that's true. And usually when the doctor says it, it's probably going to be accepted by the judge.
I believe when the tests come back that we will determine that at least one of the five is not mentally fit to continue in his job.
I think maybe
and I'm
more,
not
sta- maybe
listen, I'm not tipping the jury at all.
Now, Steve, you know, I know you're saying this tongue-in-cheek.
Not really.
But I think that I don't know if it's a chicken or the egg thing, but I do think that a lot of people who go into politics have some personality disorders because, you know, it helps to be a narcissist. If you look that up on the computer and you Google it, you see what that means. It means someone who is usually a high achiever, a person who has probably low self-esteem but tries to achieve things to compensate for that. And I think a lot of our politicians have those traits, and that makes it very difficult to get along with other people.
What an attractive description of what they do and what yeah, and really what we do. All right, so what happens? Are there questions that I have to answer when we do this hearing?
Probably, yeah. Like, what day of the week is it? You know, what is one and two? You know, all of those kinds of things.
So you determine basic competency to put one foot in front of the other and walk down the street. But is there any additional questions? Like, I'm pretty good at math.
Yeah, you know, you would pass it, Steve. I mean, most people can pass a competency test. Those are for people who are psychotic or people who have Alzheimer's or people who just don't know what's going on. But these are
Have you seen how they're running Springfield? These people don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, I think it's a slightly different twist. I don't know if you saw in the news, but Governor Edgar just gave a speech and he talked about civility. And it sounds trite, but he's absolutely right. We as lawyers have to get trained in civility. Every year we had to take continuing legal education, and part of that, we have a whole commission on civility that is in place, if you can believe it, because we need to be civil with other lawyers. Why? We can't resolve cases unless we're civil. Otherwise, we'd be fighting constantly about everything, and it doesn't get anything done. Well, look at what's going on in Springfield. We need people to be trained in how to sit down with people and disagree without calling them a jerk. That's not that hard.
That's a disagree without being disagreeable. It's that old thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Governor Edgar, if you look at what he said in his speech, he said, Madigan and I sat down every day and had lunch together, forced, you know, each other to just sit down and have lunch until we got past our issues.
That's my question. So what changed with Madigan? I don't care if Rauner and Madigan hate each other. I don't. It's none of my business. Personally, it shouldn't matter. They should still be able to get in a room together and solve problems.
Absolutely. And even people like Teddy Kennedy back in the day, you may or may not like his politics, but he was always able to walk across the aisle, and he got a lot of things done with the Republican Party.
Now, Reagan and Tip O'Neill is the old example everybody goes to. All right, so the competency hearing, if we find a therapist who's willing to administer this to me, then I can present it to the state leaders.
I think that's a great idea, Steve, but okay. I think you're going to have to go a little bit farther than competency. I think you're going to have to go to personality disorders and those kinds of traits.
Still the same department, though, right? The right therapist can handle all that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, because, I mean, the personality disorders, again, you got into politics, one, two, you're still in, and three, you're not getting it done. That's three strikes and you're out. Now, none of this, of course, unfortunately, is binding, but I feel the more I build a case, because this is what you do every day, the more I build a case and present the evidence that Springfield is run by people who aren't competent, maybe we'll get people to vote them out.
That's true. Or we bring in some sort of negotiator. We bring in somebody who, you know, the mediators are, you know, I'm a trained mediator, and you learn how to bring people together, and you learn how to say, Steve, I hear you're saying this, but do you really mean that? And Mr. Madigan, do you really mean this? And hey, can't we meet somewhere in the middle? And you have these people, of course, I'm making it simple, but mediators are very good at getting these things done. Why don't we bring in some professional negotiators to get this done?
Be great as always. Now, Friday, Sunday night, I want to make sure we know we can get the plugs in here. Sunday night, you're on with Noonan?
On with Noonan from 8 to 9.
All right. And you got the new fancy law firm. Does it still have that new law firm smell?
It does. It does. But now I have to dangle a little air freshener. But no, it's doing very, very well. I'm very busy. I've got some great people working for me, and everything's going well.
All right. How do we get a hold of you there?
Call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
629, big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
In honor of nominating the first woman for president to a major ticket after 7, a brand new game show, Famous Female First. Yeah, the 3F game. Famous female first.
Careful.
Okay. And I'd like mostly dudes to play this to see how much we know about famous women.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not going to, lock you out, as far as you know. But we'll do that after 7. Jeffrey Lord is a CNN Trump supporter and seems like a nice enough guy and has had a long career in politics. But Jeffrey Lord is one of the folks that when he talks about defending Trump in various ways, you have to look at him and go, come on, you don't believe that. So here is Jeffrey Lord's explanation of Donald Trump's double day yesterday, because most of the day yesterday he was still defending his racist comments about the Mexican-American judge from Indiana who's more American than Trump is. But by the time he did the speech last night, he was measured presidential Donald Trump. We'll get to that sound in a second. First, and I'm warning you, put your seatbelt on if you don't have it on, because you could get whiplash here. Here's Jeffrey Lord, Trump supporters' explanation of why Trump's comments were not racist.
Will you denounce what Trump said as racism?
It wasn't racist. He is calling attention to racism. Hello? Hello?
He said the judge can't judge me because he's Mexican. That's what he said.
Guys,
the judge is Mexican.
You just did a 6-mile lap to avoid answering the question.
No, I am not. I am not avoiding. You're not hearing me.
As to why he doesn't just go into court and ask to the judge to recuse himself because he has a bias. And you didn't ask the question as to why you shouldn't just condemn his emphasis on race when you're objecting to race, so objected into our politics.
This guy is so self-identifying as a Latino before he's a judge.
That's not what Donald Trump said. You're putting Donald Trump has never said himself. What he said was very clear. I want to build a wall. He's a Mexican. He's an anti-Trump guy.
Are Mexicans
guy.
Latinos?
Are they?
Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Donald Trump didn't say that. Donald Trump said Mexican.
Today.
Well, okay. But Donald Trump didn't even know that. So Donald Trump.
I can't.
The whole point is Trump never goes that deep on anything.
No. Uh-uh.
Trump would never go, hey, what if I say this and make a real strong statement on racism? What? That's not what he's talking about.
No, not at all. And saying I'm going to build a wall isn't calling attention to the border problem either.
No, of course not. It's Trump being Trump. And by the way, Clinton's people are no better. Clinton's people, when they go on TV and they talk about whether it's the email server or the foundation problems or anything else, Clinton's people are just as disingenuous. It's like, who are you trying to kid? How stupid do you think I look that I'm believing that? So they're both beauties. Last night, Trump does his speech, and he was measured Donnie. He was grown-up Donnie. Grown-up Donnie J. That's his name, grown-up Donnie J. And he looked like the Robert Palmer video again, because he had his hot wife and his hot daughter standing behind him.
I saw that in the hot pink dress. Beautiful dress, by the way.
Yeah, and Trump in the suit. It looked like if Robert Palmer had lived, this is what the new video would have looked like. Here's Trump, the new mature Trump from last night.
I'm truly honored by your support. Together, we accomplished what nobody thought was absolutely possible. And you know what that is? We're only getting started, and it's going to be beautiful. Remember that. Tonight, we close one chapter in history, and we begin another. Our campaign received more primary votes than any GOP campaign in history, no matter who it is, no matter who they are. We receive more votes.
Not entirely true, because, Hillary had more votes. But, and Trump wrapped up this speech with a promise. You played it in the big story, but I want people to hear this again. Trump says, look, man, I'm not the Trump you saw earlier today. I'm the all-new Trump.
I understand the responsibility of carrying the mantle, and I will never, ever let you down. Too much work, too many people, blood, sweat, and tears. Never going to let you down. I will make you proud of your party and our movement.
So he's starting right now. He means right now. Starting right now. I drew a line starting right now. I'm never going to let you down. I know I let you down before, but I'm never going to let you down again. Starting right now. Right here. Don't look back. Look forward. Starting right now. I'm never going to let you down. Let me tell you something. If he stays to mature Donnie J, grown up Donnie J, he'll be a formidable candidate.
Over or under for how quickly he loses the new Donnie J persona?
9 a.m. today.
Okay.
9 a.m. today, he'll be back on the Trump show. All right. It is 6:49. We're back after this. We're going to check in with Steve Roberts from ABC News in a second on all of this on 720 WGN. Steve Roberts, ABC News, standing by. And last night, a big night in American politics, an eventuality we knew would happen, of course, but it wasn't official till it was official. And Hillary Clinton is the first female nominee of a major party for president. And, Steve, I don't know about you, but I just think everybody, regardless how you feel about Hillary, ought to take a moment and pause and be happy we got there.
Look, I agree with you. 96 years after women got the vote in this country, and long after many other countries have had female heads of state, whether it's Margaret Thatcher in Great Britain, Golda Meir in Israel, many others. So the United States, which prides itself on being very progressive on these matters, is actually far behind the rest of the world. But there are two other dimensions that are important. Hillary Clinton herself, tweeted that this victory was for every little girl who dreams big. And as you say, that's a nonpartisan point. You don't have to be a Democrat or a Republican to see this as a symbolically important moment for all women. But there's also the role of women was very practically important. The Wall Street Journal did a study, looked at all of the primaries, found that the Sanders and Clinton basically divided the male vote, but Hillary Clinton beat Sanders by 24 points among female voters. She's the nominee today based on women's votes, and that's going to be a critical factor going forward in the fall campaign, Steve.
The alleged maturity of Mr. Trump and the pivot to the issues, pivot, one of the most overused words in politics, how long does that last?
It lasts as long as Trump wants it to last. I mean, he almost looked to me like last night like he was on sedatives. I mean, he was so different in tone by reading this speech, but his handlers are so afraid that he's going to pop off and say something outrageous that they're really trying to keep him under control. But I don't know how long this lasts. I mean, Trump has said repeatedly, "I will not change." And last night they kept him closed behind the teleprompter, but there are going to be countless spontaneous moments, and I think you get what you see with Trump. It's both a strength and a significant weakness, his spontaneity and his candor. And I don't think the Trump we saw last night is going to last.
Talking to Steve Robertson, ABC News. Bernie Sanders sort of said goodbye last night, but in the big picture, kind of didn't. What is his play here?
Well, look, you know, on one hand, you've got to give him credit for having run an excellent campaign that lasted and was far more successful than anybody expected. But it's over. And he's leaving on kind of a sour note. He's starting to sound like a grumpy old man who, you know, chasing people off his lawn. I mean, and a lot of Democrats are very unhappy with him privately, that they felt that he's distracted from the main issue, which is engaging Donald Trump. They've tried to send messages to him over and over again. He obviously hasn't listened, but maybe he will now. The fact that Clinton won in California and won so decisively by more than 400,000 votes is a clear sign that there's absolutely none, zero, zilch chance of Sanders swaying any of those super delegates to his side. And so at this point, he's starting to look like a sore loser. Now, you get so emotionally invested in this. It takes time to wind down. It takes time to confront reality. And you got to remember, Bernie Sanders is 74 years old. This is his last star turn on the national
stage.
This is a farewell tour. And he's milking it. He can't let it go. But the time has come for him to do that and to confront reality.
Steve, how soon do you see that happening? I know there's a report out today that some Sanders staffers are going to be laid off this afternoon. How soon do you see that happening, Bernie dropping out?
Well, he's supposed to meet with President Obama later this week at the White House. And I think that meeting has been laid on as a way of highlighting the achievement of Bernie Sanders and giving him a moment in the sun with the president at the White House. That might be the moment when he acknowledges that that it's all over and that he has to start unifying the Democratic Party. It might come after the Washington D.C. Primary next week, but the Democrats feel it's got to come sooner rather than later, because the danger here is that his younger supporters, who are less experienced in politics, will somehow feel that this nomination has been stolen from them, that not only have they lost, but somehow they've lost unfairly. And if that bitterness lingers, and you heard it expressed by a lot of people in the crowd last night, Hillary Clinton is going to need those votes, and he's going to need the active support of the Sanders people. Any Democrat who thinks Donald Trump's going to be easy to beat is denying reality. So,
right.
I think there's going to be an enormous effort on the part of Democrats to turn the page and make sure the party's united. And the fact is, the party has much better chance of being united than the Republicans. After all, the Speaker of the House called the Republican standard bearer a racist this week. There's no matter how bitter there is bitterness there is between Sanders and Clinton, it hasn't come close to that level of vitriol.
Heard the point made last night, and it's true. It goes, look, regardless of which party you're in, it's never a good day when the person you've nominated for president has to be defended against whether or not they're a racist. In other words, just the discussion is incredibly damaging, and it was Trump who was extending it out for days and days and days. Steve, nicely done by you as always. Thank you.
Okay, anytime, friends.
Steve Roberts from ABC News. Steve Roberts and Cokie Roberts, arguably one of the most politically astute families in Washington. Minute before 7, we're coming back. We're going to play Famous Female First. I'll be your cordial game show host. We'll give away some prizes to people who can identify famous women who have broken through and done something for the first time. Okay. Minute before 7 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I really wish my mother could be here tonight. I wish she could see what a wonderful mother Chelsea has become and could meet our beautiful granddaughter, Charlotte. And of course, I wish she could see her daughter become the Democratic Party's nominee.
Welcome to America's favorite game show that I just invented. In honor of a milestone in America last night, regardless of how you feel about the candidate, it's time for Famous Female First.
Woo!
Things women have done for the first time. Famous Female First. I'd love if we were just dudes playing this game to see how much you know about famous women, but obviously, all are welcome to play. 312-981-7200. After Mary does the traffic, we will come back and we will play the game. Famous Female First.
Woo. Yeah.
Would you guys mind if I did the whole game show hosting thing in Bernie Sanders' voice?
That would be fun. No, you
no,
should.
No, not good? Not good?
No, okay. No, you should.
Here's another stupid question about the woman to beat me.
Okay, no.
Fan square. At 7:15, Mary, do the traffic first, and if you want to play Famous Female First, you simply have to answer questions about famous women. Welcome back to America's fastest growing game show. This is likely the only time we will play Famous Female First for fabulous prizes worth tens of dollars from the Steve Cochran Show prize list. We go to the phone, and we start with a man named Tom. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Tom, what do you do?
I am a bricklayer.
How's business?
Business is, right now I'm not working. I had a hip replaced in January, and I'm going to Canada next week, and then go fishing, and then I'm going back to work.
You get one of them Canadian hips?
I don't know where the hell it came from, but it's working pretty well. So.
All right, well, good. Enjoy that trip. I'm going to ask you a simple question about a famous female. Identify the female, and you win. Here is your question. This woman was the first female to fly solo across the Atlantic. Name the famous female.
Oh, gosh. Darn it.
Oh, come on.
Amelia Earhart!
Emily Earhart's sister, congratulations, man. Hold the line. We have fabulous prizes for you. Well, he's close. Jim is in Elmhurst. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
Welcome to Famous Female First. Jim, what do you do when you're not talking like Orion Samuelson?
I imitate Orion Samuelson.
Is there any money in that?
No.
Okay. What's your job?
I'm inside sales, material handling.
Huh? What type of material are we selling?
Any type of material handling that goes in a warehouse.
Oh, really? So a little bit of everything.
Racking, bins.
Yeah, sure.
Safety products.
Dave, you need any racking?
Yeah, I always need racking.
All right, let's get Dave some racking after
Thank
this phone call
much.
Is over. All right, so here's your question for big prizes worth tens of dollars from the Steve Cochran Show prize list. She was the first female justice on the Supreme Court. Name that woman for this famous female first.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
No! It was Judge Judy.
Oh, no.
No, of course it was Sandra Day O'Connor. Congratulations. Now, there's a couple of dudes who know they're famous women.
That's right.
How about that?
Very nice, gentlemen.
Well done. Good start. Let me go to Jackie in Batavia. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm a little nervous for you. The boys have set a high bar here.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, here's your famous female first question. Name the first American woman sent into space. The first American woman sent into space.
Sally Ride. Shelley Ride.
Shelley Ride is correct, but she was good friends with her neighbor Sally Ride for years.
Yes.
Congratulations!
I like her husband in the background going, right.
Yeah, and there you go. The
Once again, the guy. Yeah.
This is reinforcing my opinion of the men in this audience.
That's right. Love them.
They're actually paying attention to the famous females, and she's a winner as well.
Way to go, guys.
Let me move on to Carol in Crystal Lake. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. Fine.
What do you do, Carol?
I'm a retired teacher.
Where did you teach?
At Jacobs High School in Algonquin,
Illinois. Oh, high school. Good God, woman. And you survived.
Yes.
Yeah. And what grade level did you teach in high school?
Mostly freshmen, but 9 through 9, 10, 12, basically.
Oh. Oh. Come here. Give me a hug. Get over here, you. Nicely done by you. Thank you for your service to those kids. And do you, are you enjoying your time away now, or do you miss the kids?
I miss the kids. I still sub.
Oh, well, good for you. Well, you know what? That's the thing about a great teacher. A great teacher, it's always in your blood. You ain't doing it to get rich.
Mm-mm.
That's what I'm saying. My daughter's a teacher, Carol, and she works with kids with autism, and it's a special gift to be able to have that kind of patience and dedication, and I salute you.
That is. For your daughter is a tremendous accomplishment.
Well, it's nice, and you're modest, but thank you for all the years you've done this as well. All right, so here we go. Famous female first. She was the first woman to run for vice president on a major party ticket. Name that famous female first.
Ferraro.
Geraldine Ferraro is correct. Woo! We got nothing but winners on this show.
Oh, Carol.
This show's nothing but winners. All winners all the time. Did I get to Joan? Did I? I didn't get to Joan. Let me get to Joan. One more. Joan on the Northwest side. This is our final question for this round of famous female firsts.
I think I should hang up right now.
I'm telling you. How about it, right?
Oh, Lord.
I'm
gonna
They're really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the staff a question, too, and we finish with you, young lady.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. Who is the first female Secretary of State? I'm going to throw a hint in here. It was not Hillary Clinton. The first female Secretary of State.
And all I could think of is Hillary Clinton.
No, let me give you a hint. It rhymes with Madeleine Albright.
Oh, she rhymes with? Yeah. It is Madeleine Albright.
It's Madeleine Albright! That's unbelievable!
Very nice.
Five for five. Congratulations, you're all winners. I'll tell you what you've won in a couple of minutes as soon as Mary tells me what you've won. So, Sandberg, let me know what they've won. Here's the question I have for the staff to wrap up this edition of Famous Female First.
We're ready.
In what year were women first allowed to vote in Saudi Arabia? In what year were women first allowed to vote in Saudi Arabia?
Are we just guessing? Or?
Dave?
That's a question, not a woman question.
This is a bonus question.
Oh. Yeah.
They are not allowed to vote in Saudi Arabia.
That is incorrect, Dave. It's a very progressive nation. I don't know if you've heard.
I know.
You do?
Am I allowed to say?
Of course, yeah. Well, I asked all you guys.
Well, I think I know. Does anybody else want to guess first?
I'm guessing it was extremely recent.
Well, what's your guess? Pick a year.
All right.
It's 2014.
2015.
I knew it was recent.
Why are we getting the book?
I almost said last year, but...
You said 2014.
Why is that wrong? Why is that any more correct than me saying never? Or they're not allowed.
I like how you thought you should get credit for the wrong answer.
And what about me? I said very recent.
No,
well, but
you
very
said
recent's not 2015.
Mary said 2014, so... I'm going to say 2015, Steve.
I don't know where that came from, but that's exactly right.
That's what I thought.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
It's 7:25. The Steve Cochran Show continues. If we have time, we'll play some more famous female first later. Sandberg, what do you have for me?
So Jackie's going to get a pair of tickets to Rent, the rock musical that defined a generation, playing through July 3rd at Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights, centered around a group of struggling artists living in New York City in the 90s. Rent is filled with iconic songs, including Seasons of Love, Take Me or Leave Me. Get tickets at metropolisarts.com.
Mm-hmm.
Joan and Carol are going to get a MyPillow, guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Visit MyPillow.com. And Jim and Tom are going to get Apt gift cards because guys like electronics.
Right. We're simple.
Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store at Glenview or online at abt.com.
And you're all welcome to play Famous Female First. You know what? Give them a ChevyDriveChicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We give that away every day.
So, you know, you never know when we might throw that in with you. 726, back after this on 720 WGN.
In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187.
For us, OJ was colorless. None of the people that we associated with looked at him as a black man.
A civil rights leader in Los Angeles has said if you are going to be a Negro in a big city, then Los Angeles is the best place to be.
Really? OJ Simpson as a civil rights victim? It was disgusting. It was appalling.
You ugly murderer! You ugly
murderer! Oh, cinnamon, where you gonna run to?
Well, you remember where you were when the decision came down and where you were the year before. O.J. Simpson, still big numbers, even if it's a made-for-TV movie with John Travolta and funny eyebrows. But I've never seen as much buzz, well, not in least of recent times, for what I'm hearing for O.J. Made in America. O.J. Made in America premieres Saturday at 8 o'clock Chicago time on ABC, and then airs Tuesday through Saturday on ESPN, part of the ABC networks. And Ezra Edelman, award-winning director, Emmy award-winning director, joins us now. The buzz on this thing is huge, Ezra. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me.
And as you get in the middle of this, and you're in the middle of making this, how do you separate yourself from that to, you know, get a sense of how real that is?
It's pretty impossible. I mean, you know, obviously it's nice that people have responded thus far the way they have. It validates a lot of hard work that a lot of us did over a pretty intense two-year period. And it also sort of speaks to, in some ways, the appetite that, you know, I think we all continue to have for this story, which is somewhat surprising.
Well, actually, a tough question, because I don't know how you would answer this if I'm you. What do you do in this that I haven't seen before?
I'm going to give you an unsatisfying answer. I have no idea. That's not for me to determine. I have no idea what you've seen before or what you know.
Well, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? The same footage that's run over and over again. Your spin on it, your take on it, how's it different?
Well, here's the first thing. There's 3 hours of the film before you even get to the murders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that you haven't seen the 3 hour of that story. And certainly not done in this way, which was interweaving a story about who O.J. was, where he came from, his rise to celebrity and fame, alongside a story about the black community in L.A., their relationship with the LAPD, a history of the LAPD, and those two intersecting narratives leading up to where we get to in 94 and 95. I'm guessing you haven't seen that. And if you have, I'm pretty amazed because I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist.
Well, you know what, Ezra? You haven't been with me. I'm very, very busy. You never know. I could be standing behind you right now. Again, a premiere Saturday night. So, O.J. Simpson, Made in America. Should I overread the subtitle, Made in America? Is it a comment on our celebrity culture love? Is it a comment on civil rights? Or is it what we make of it?
It's what you make of it, but it is apt. I mean, I think everything about O.J. and who he is, culturally, how he is represented to us and represents us, how he was basically came to be as a guy who grew up as this black kid in the projects and was acculturated at USC and sort of spit out as this commercial star and became this famous celebrity that we and sports star that we all as Americans clombed onto, and then was accused of murder and then ended up being more famous than ever, which is the one thing he grew up wanting to be. Yeah, it is. He was made in America. I mean, you could also call it, in the famous words or infamous words of Don King, only in America.
Right.
So in terms of everything that took place during those 2 years, especially how the media glommed onto that trial, I keep using the word glom. Made in America. That's what this is. I think it's apt.
Ezra, I read an article. I love the answer to this question. I kind of know part of it, but I want everybody else to hear the answer to this. I think this is fascinating in itself. Did you interview any of the participants in his life? And I'm not just talking about the trial, but family, teachers, coaches, and as well as people who were involved in that trial.
We interviewed 72 people overall, 66 of whom are in the film. The only person from OJ's family that we interview is his first cousin. Most people in his inner circle were reluctant to talk, not surprisingly. But there are childhood friends. There are some former coaches. There are a lot of people from different parts, a lot of friends of OJ's, and he had a lot of friends. A lot of people from different parts of his life. And so, yeah, it's all over the map. And yes, we did interview people, major players from the trial itself.
Talking to Ezra Edelman, who, by the way, if you're a fan of great sports documentaries, Magic and Bird, A Courtship of Rivals, is brilliant. I've probably watched that thing 10 times. Maybe I need to get out of the house more.
Not if that's what you're going to do.
And The Ghosts of Flatbush, the story of the Brooklyn Dodgers as well. You were a kid, relatively speaking, in 1994, 18, 19 years old. You know, you get older, you have a family, or you move on in life. I'm guessing now you're in your early 40s. You know, and this stuff hits you differently. When you considered this project initially, was it difficult to wrap your head around it, or were you following it even back in the day?
When I was approached to do this project, I said no, because I was not interested in revisiting a story that, like yourself, I hadn't, you know, I thought I knew it all, and I didn't think needed to be discussed any further. I definitely did not follow it. I was in college at the time. I, like everyone else, have a memory of where I was during the Bronco chase, and I have a recollection of watching the verdict, but somehow I don't remember watching any of the trial itself. And so in some ways, at least on that, in that regard, even though I lived through it, as far as the minutiae and the details of the trial and the stories of the people within the trial, I wasn't as familiar, even if I knew the basic tentpole moments that made it so dramatic. I knew about the glove and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but regardless, what I was interested in was not that. I didn't want to just make a regurgitation of the trial. And I was not interested in exploring the question of did he do it or didn't he do it. I really wanted to look at the context that led up to that and the historical factors that really played such a huge role in determining what happened during that trial.
You think he dies in prison? Do you think OJ will ever get out again?
Well, you know, he's up for parole next year, mm-hmm. and I really don't know. I mean, you know, you could certainly make the argument that he was sent to prison and given a far more extreme sentence for the crime that he committed. And so how that plays out then with the parole board is anybody's guess. He got sentenced to 33 years for armed robbery for a very silly crime. And so, sure, if he ends up, you know, spending another 10 years, I wouldn't be surprised if he died in jail. But I don't know if that's the case.
I appreciate your time. I know you got a lot of people to talk to, but I'm a fan of your work. And congratulations in advance, because people are lining up to tell you how good this is.
Thank you very much, Steve. I really appreciate it. I hope when you guys get a chance to watch it, you will like it.
All right. Have a great day. OJ Made in America premieres Saturday night at 8 on ABC. The entire series airs Tuesday through Saturday at 8 o'clock, also Chicago time on ESPN.
I think what's going to be cool about this is the front story. I mean, most of us, as he said, lived through the trial, watched it, knew where we were, and know the post story now, obviously. But many of us don't, myself included, know the pre-story.
Yeah, well, I mean, even that, though, because he was such a famous football player, by the time he got to USC, anybody that was a college football fan, even back then, you know, had heard the name O.J. Simpson. It's a unique name. Mm-hmm. The guy was an exceptional running back during the golden era of running backs. But what really took him over the top, fame-wise, was after football.
Yeah,
you know,
Naked Gun.
Everybody, well, in Wasn't Hollywood it? In general, the Avis mm-hmm. commercials,
yeah.
Everybody loved him. He was the smiling guy. And here's the ultimate truth. He was no threat to armchair racists because he was a guy that the Archie Bunkers of the world could go, oh, I always watched him play football. Oh, and he's smiling. He's not saying anything crazy. He's one of the good ones. So he didn't threaten anybody. And on top of that, he found a way to assimilate himself into a Hollywood culture, which wasn't necessarily welcoming of ex-athletes, and made himself a star. It's one of the reasons, because he was so famous, even before the internet, that it was so shocking when this all happened. But I'm telling you, the buzz on this movie is huge. I'm still waiting to be surprised, but there's got to be stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night.
This is producer Jake.
And still have begged for more.
I didn't know he had this kind of range.
I could have spread my wings.
Oh, I'm being told that's Kristen Chenoweth. Kristen Chenoweth is in concert coming up in Chicago. Emmy and Tony Award-winning singer and actress Kristen Chenoweth performing with members of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra for one night only on Monday, June 20th. Features 10 of its greatest Broadway hits, concerts, fundraiser for the CSO. That's the CSO! With proceeds helping to support their nationally acclaimed community engagement programs. Here's the deal. Sometime between now and, what do you make it, Jake, 9 o'clock? Between now and 9, you'll hear Kristen Chenoweth make this noise.
Oh, it's a quickie.
Yeah. Mm. So when you hear her make that noise, she's not in trouble. She's not caught in an animal trap. That's actually just a cue for you to call in. What call you want to make it? Caller 720? Kevin always used to like that.
721.
721. Oh, look at Jake playing
like the
along.
Price is Right.
Excellent.
Did you get what I did there?
I did. Yeah, one more.
Back to the show?
Yeah, actually. So be caller 7 when you hear Kristen Chenoweth make that noise you just heard. Yeah, that noise. We'll give you her CD, Coming Home, and you'll be qualified to win tickets to the concert, which we'll do on Monday. All right? So, now you know. It's 7:57. I got time for a story here? Can I tell a quick story? I got a couple of things that came up, and they're very important to the good of, well, the community.
Of society?
Yeah, of society in general. One of its Hostess Twinkies have been recalled. Hostess Twinkies are in the middle of a recall. And if you love the Chocodiles, the Ding Dongs, the Zingers, the Hoo-Ha's, the What's-Its, the Ram-a-Lama Ding Dongs, the
Ho-Ho's?
The
Dave,
what'd you call me?
So mean. Gosh.
Hostess is recalling a whole bunch of them. Voluntary recalled 710,000 cases of packaged snack cakes and donuts, which are supposed to be completely peanut-free, after realizing certain items were made with flour that may have peanut residue.
Uh-oh.
Those include the Chocodiles. I don't even know what a Chocodile is.
I don't know what it is either. A Chocodile? I've never had one of
those.
There's
some with some chocolate filling. Maybe that's what it is.
So it's a crocodile filled with chocolate?
I think. Mm. But I thought those were like just a short-lived thing.
And then your ding-dongs, your zingers, and your Hostess donuts. So if you have any of those and you have a kid with a peanut allergy or a sensitivity to nuts, just be advised.
A chocodile apparently is a Twinkie that's dipped in chocolate, which I never know.
Why is it called a chocodile?
Not quite sure.
Okay.
Looks good, though. And well, not now, obviously.
An update on a little Yamato Tanuka. This is the little boy who was left in the woods by his father and was found and is okay, at least physically. There's pressure to file charges against the parents in Japan. This is out of Tokyo. 7-year-old Yamato Tanuka was released from the hospital the other day. He was missing for nearly a week in the forests of northern Japan, triggering a huge search. He was found tired and hungry, but otherwise safe and sound, at an unoccupied army camp about 3 miles from where he'd been last seen. His parents initially reported that he wandered off. Now, here's the thing. You do this idiotic thing where it's allegedly discipline, and you leave your 7-year-old in the woods, and then you lie about it?
Awful.
It was unbelievable. When they returned a few minutes later, Yamato was nowhere to be found. We've raised him with love all along, his father said in a tearful appearance before television cameras. I really didn't think it would come to that. We went too far. Oh, gee, do you think?
That's ridiculous. Come on. Give him a time out in the house.
So no, you know what you do? You take the parents and you leave them in the woods.
There you go.
See if you can find your way out.
It's terrible.
Ridiculous.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9 at 8:12 in the morning. Hello,
you don't
buddy.
Have to shout.
Hello, Dean. How are you?
Ow.
I was thinking this morning as I was driving in, is there any news out there about a new Finding Dory movie? And it turns out that there is.
Well, you know, this is funny that you should say that because
what?
We.
What, you mean you have news? The worst segue ever.
We are the worst actors ever.
You have tickets to a new Finding Dory movie?
I just want to give us both Dean's List F.
Yeah, I agree.
For acting.
If there's a lower grade, you should find it.
This is funny because we happen to be doing a contest where all you got to do is go to the website and register, and you could win a family four-pack of tickets to see this is like one of the most anticipated sequels ever, the sequel to Finding Nemo, Finding Dory. You get to see it with your family.
This is where we find out Dory opened a meth lab with Bryan Cranston.
Right. the first animated drug movie. The people at Pixar are really pushing the envelope this time.
I'm telling you, right on the edge.
If you go to WGNTV.com/contest, they have a thing there where you can enter, and maybe you'll be a winner. I thought, why not share the opportunity with everyone?
Well, you're a giver.
Who doesn't want free tickets?
No, you're a giver. I'll tell you, who doesn't want free tickets? All these people walking by my window outside. It's almost like they're going to work or something. They're ignoring you and I right now.
I think people need to get their priorities when they walk by the window, to see what's going on. If they're late for work, so what?
That's not true. You guys, people have come by and told you both you're number one before.
Yeah, it's true. No, you're right. You're right. She's right about that.
It's true.
Well, they got that fake scaffolding project up. They do this once a year in front of the Tribune Studios, or I should say the WGN Radio Studios here at the Tribune Tower. And they put up the scaffolding, and these guys come out, and they stand around it, and they look up, and then they walk away.
I have never seen any work being done on the building ever.
And I don't know what the scaffolding is for, because they built this platform. It'd be like a cool place to have a fort. We should make a fort up there.
If they were going to do an outside studio, like build a platform where we could do shows outside.
Yeah, it's work. No, he's talking work. I'm just talking about these guys goofing off.
Okay.
But these guys, and I'm sure there's an absolute purpose for this. But we've had this scaffolding in front of the window now for what, 6 months?
I've never seen anybody doing anything there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's been years since any of the Tribune reporters have stolen valuable pieces of buildings from around the world and brought them back for us to adhere to the side of the building there.
Yeah, and is that what the point of this allegedly is, to clean up the side of the building, to keep making it the historical centerpiece of Chicago that it is?
Well, you want to clean up a property before it goes on the real estate market.
Well, I think the building was sold, wasn't it?
Was it really?
I think so. Didn't somebody buy the tower?
I think it's for sale.
That's what I thought.
I don't think anyone has purchased it yet.
Oh, yeah, because there's a guy with a Remax blazer in the lobby.
That's
why they put those neat security gates in that never were.
I'm a little upset that I didn't get the listing on this building. I've been selling celebrity properties forever. I don't get the listing from the very building that I work in. That ain't right. And I also think it's suspicious that I get my name on the Walk of Fame after all these years, and then the building goes up for sale. Is that why they decided to sell the building?
There is a property value piece to this story. There absolutely is. Yeah, there's no question.
That's not right.
Bobby Brown did his 2020 interview last night. Dean will tell you about that. Amber Heard news today.
Two Ambers for the price of one.
Yeah, you got an Amber Heard and an Amber Rose.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise hasn't seen his daughter in how long?
Allegedly. Allegedly.
And Independence Day, a double feature. Coming to a theater near you.
The worst actor ever.
All of those stories on the way.
You can travel Chicago.
Check your prostate!
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
Dean, you'll be happy to hear. I recently had a prostate exam and everything's fine.
Well, you'll be happy to know when you asked me just a few minutes ago that I did check and everything is also fine, but right. I did lose my wristwatch.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's what the lost and found box is for.
If that's what you want to call it, sure.
All right, so let me begin with the Ambers. Amber Rose. Would you explain to people who don't know who she is?
Amber Rose is, famous on the, reality show.
For what? Wasn't she a stripper?
I think that may have been, part of her. I'm looking at her Instagram description.
Uh-huh.
And it says Sebastian's mom. She has a 3-year-old son with her now ex-husband, Wiz Khalifa, rapper Wiz Khalifa.
By the way, if you get your prostate checked, you won't have the Wiz Khalifa anymore.
Sebastian's mom. Bald-headed scallywag, feminist. author, certified slut. Apparently her words, whoever put that description together.
She put certified slut in?
On her Instagram account.
Oh, gosh, that's terrific for the three-year-old to read.
She's a model. She's an actress, a fashion designer.
All right, so she's one of these people that are famous because they're famous.
Famous for being famous was in a video with Kanye West.
Yeah, and she has giant boobs. I know that.
She does.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not in her Instagram description, but there's only so many characters you
right.
can use.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You put certified slutty, you got to leave something else out.
Yeah, and at the Cochrane Breast Institute, the CBI and the Alps, we track the celebrities that have those giant boobs. So anyway, she got a divorce, and she's celebrating?
She was married to the aforementioned rapper, Wiz Khalifa, in early 2011. 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you for getting your facts straight. I'd hate to have that come up later in a meeting.
I am nothing. Steve, when it comes to certified sluts, I am nothing if I am not accurate.
Of course, yeah.
They came to a divorce settlement yesterday. And, you know, what you do when anyone, you go to your lawyers, you have the meetings, you get the settlement worked out. This particular couple afterwards decided to go to a strip club together. To celebrate, as they put it. She says, not to celebrate our divorce, to celebrate because we're still friends, and that will never change.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. I think the number of times you'd grab an ex and take her to a strip club, that is just the sweetest
thing. Hey, honey, what are you doing? You want to go to, yeah.
Two words, lap dance. All right, so there's Amber Heard news now, and this is a bit of a twist in the story.
Yeah, this is weird, as if this story couldn't get any weirder. Amber Heard, who's filed for divorce against Johnny Depp, also got a temporary restraining order against him because she is alleging domestic violence, something that Johnny Depp denies. But it's turned up in police records yesterday that Amber Heard herself was arrested for domestic violence. This took place a couple of years ago in a Seattle airport. It was she was with her then-girlfriend, a photographer named Tasia Van Rie, 2009, allegedly grabbed, Amber Heard grabbed her girlfriend's arm and punched her at the same time, according to the report.
This is in public?
This apparently was in public. The charges later got dropped, but there is a police record of it all.
More celebrity trouble. Tom Cruise hasn't seen his daughter in how long?
This is in the New York Post. They are alleging...
The New York Post? Well, of course it's true then.
They are surprisingly accurate lately. They are alleging that Tom Cruise has not seen now 10-year-old Suri in 3 years, and they are saying that it's because of Scientology, that Scientology does not allow its members, especially the high-profile ones, like Tom Cruise, to associate with non-Scientologists, and that is what you would call his ex-wife, actress Katie Holmes. So there is that estrangement, not only with Katie Holmes, but according to the Post, also not with his little daughter, with whom he was so close in the early years of their life.
Well, regardless of what a whack job Tom Cruise may or may not be, you certainly hope this isn't true. And if it is true, shame on him, because regardless of your circumstance and situations and your set of beliefs, I don't know what God you would believe in or alien in Scientology's case. That would keep you from your own child. It's ridiculous.
I only know about Scientology, you know, what I've read that is not for me in any way. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can't imagine any circumstance in which somebody would say you cannot see your own flesh and blood and you would go along with it.
That's the part I don't understand.
Yeah, Katie Holmes' spokesperson says no comment to the whole thing. Cruise's publicist. Not even returning calls on that. Isn't that amazing, though, that little Suri?
10 years old.
That's amazing to me because it just seems, I would have guessed, if somebody would have asked me, I would have said three,
yeah,
five.
Yeah, three, four, five. Yeah.
Something like that.
Bobby Brown did his 2020 interview last night. Anything right, we need
this,
to know?
Yes, this is my favorite story of the day. He has a new book out in which he talks about raising Bobby Christina. We told you yesterday his candor in saying that he and Whitney Houston, his ex-wife, failed Bobby Christina Brown. They should have been there for her, could have been there for her, and they were not there for her. So he's taking some responsibility for how messed up that poor girl's life wound up being. That was kind of the serious part of the interview that was on 2020 last night. But also in the book, he makes a weird disclosure about something else that went on in Bobby Brown's life. Here is the tape of that.
You had sex with a ghost?
A ghost, yeah, yeah. I moved into this house. I bought this mansion in Georgia. So this was a really, really spooky place. But yes, one time I woke up and, yeah, a ghost. I was being mounted by a ghost. I wasn't high.
That was my next question.
I wasn't high.
That was my next question.
Wasn't
were you tripping?
High at
were you tripping?
All. No, I was not tripping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what's the weird part about that story? Yeah, I had sex with a ghost. Well, who hasn't, Bobby Brown? So,
we've all done crazy things in our youth.
Come on. The weird thing is the ghost got angry when Bobby didn't call. I thought I meant
being
something
mounted
to you.
By a ghost.
By the way, there's a headline story here, Dean, which is related. This is from Women's Health Magazine, which you and I both read regularly.
I do.
It says, according to one scientist, sex will be obsolete by 2030 because of Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, so have a lot of sex for the next 16 years because it's going away.
So we're going to not want to have sex anymore?
Nope.
We're going to want to watch the Full House reunion?
Well, David Spiegelhalter, who, by the way, was famous for his sex ghost research as well, a professor and statistician at Cambridge, like that's important, he says declining nookie rates over the last 30 years have indicated that couples who spend the majority of their time watching screens as opposed to having intimate moments without screens on have shown a decrease in sex lives in America that can't be reversed. So have a lot of sex. You got 16 years to have all the sex you can. After that, it's over.
This is with humans or ghosts or whoever.
Anybody.
Whoever.
So much for Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
And children.
Netflix and no.
Netflix and... Mm.
And finally, an Independence Day double feature. What is this?
The the new Independence Day movie, the sequel, I guess you might say, is going to be coming out June 24th. Select theaters will be showing the original Independence Day. And then the new one, I don't remember how long the new film was. Let's just say 2 hours, but I think it was a little more than that. So if you have like about 5 hours to spare coming up between now and June 24th, check your local listings and you can watch 2 hours of stuff being destroyed.
I really feel like if I did that, like halfway into the first movie, let alone the second movie, I would be praying for an alien attack just to destroy me and the theater.
I would be praying for a ghost to show up with whom I could take out to a nice dinner.
Well, we didn't hear that, right? Did Bobby Brown even take the ghost to dinner?
No, he was just laying there and got mounted.
Just minding my own business, not hurting anybody. Next thing you know, a ghost is mounting me.
Did anybody else think he might have been alone in this whole scenario?
So you're thinking he made it up? Why would you doubt Bobby Brown?
I'm thinking maybe there was sex that was had, but not with the ghost.
I think it's a completely realistic story, and I would never question it.
I love that you're both trying to bring some rational thinking into anything regarding Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown, ghost sex.
Steve, by the way, a little follow-up on our first story about Amber Rose.
Yeah.
People want to learn more about her. There's a...
What, do you go to the library?
Well, I looked up to see if there's any... follow-up.
She in the Dewey Decimal System in the card catalog?
I like to bring a little extra content to our listeners.
Sure.
Whenever
bonus
possible.
Dean.
GQ Magazine did a really nice story about Amber Rose called How to Be a Bad Bitch.
Oh, sweet. So. Excellent. Excellent. And that's GQ, you said?
That's GQ Magazine.
All right. Making a note of that. I'll be searching that. Because you know me, if there's one thing I've always wanted other than ghost sex, is to be a bad bitch.
There's some photos with this story, too, I see.
All right, check it out.
I got to go.
All right. I think Dean just had a ghost sighting. Back with your big story next on 720 WGN.
Being mounted by a ghost.
Maybe they'll play this at the home. Our bump music's getting too white for me, Jake. Do we have any of the music of my people?
Your people?
Yeah.
Steve?
You know, as a black entertainer, do we have any of my people's music?
For a small price, could arrange that.
It's always about money with you white people. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Here's what we'll do. We'll do another exciting edition of America's Fastest Growing Game Show, Famous Female First. Mm-hmm. as we recognize the Hillary Clinton accomplishment of being the first female nominated for the presidency to a major party in the whole dang history of the United States of America. So be prepared to call, and we'll do that in a few minutes. Dana Carvey has a new show, which does it air on Channel 9? I think it is. With young impressionists. It's like a reality show / game show for impressionists. So he was on with Conan plugging it last night. Which one do you want to do first, Trump or Bernie? Here's Dana Carvey and a little Trump impression lesson.
I figure if he starts World War III, we'll be in our bunkers. He'll still be selling us on closed-circuit TV.
You know, we had a fabulous nuclear war. It was fabulous. Tremendous nuclear war. Your bunkers are terrific. Your bunkers are fabulous. The Chinese bunkers are a disaster. A disaster. Okay?
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. How about, you know, I love doing Bernie. You know that. Here's Dana Carvey doing Bernie.
You have a Bernie impression? I do, which, because of first impressions, I try to think about how you could teach people. And what I discover with him is he talks in 3 or 4 word increments. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Larry David obviously is the go-to guy. He looks just like him, brilliant. Yeah. But here's Bernie distilled, okay? What, let me just stand up, okay.
Yeah.
What I'm prepared to do. What I'm prepared to do. I will find somebody with lots of money. I will take their money and give it to the guy who doesn't have money.
First Impressions. That's the show. The new Dana Carvey show, First Impressions. USA Network. Check your local listings. All right. So here's how famous female first works. I'll get you on the phone. I'll ask you a question about a famous female first in history. And you tell me who the woman is, and you're a big winner.
Perfect.
We have fabulous prizes we've been giving away all morning, including a Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Tickets to Rent, tickets to, it's not a ticket for a MyPillow. You actually get a MyPillow. Lou Malnati's Pizza app, gift cards, all of that coming up. Okay? So we'll play that in a second. Well, that generic game show music can only mean one thing. Time once again for the fastest growing game in America. I hope you enjoy it today, because I don't see us playing it after today. It's famous female first. Let's go to our contestants. Standing by are Kevin, Jack, John, and Larry. All dudes.
Sounds like a joke.
Kevin, Jack, John, and Larry.
I'll walk into a bar.
Let's see if they know their famous female first. In any case, if either one of them don't have a correct answer, they can reach out for a lifeline of you or Dave or Mary Vandeveld.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no.
Kevin, Jack, John, and Larry. We begin with Kevin in Lombard. Kevin, what are you doing this morning?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What are you doing this morning? Are you going to work? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm driving down to the city, unfortunately.
And what's the job? What do you do?
I do commercial kitchen design.
Oh, that's cool. Where do you work? At DeMerc?
No, I work at a small office in Addison, but we work with tons of restaurants down in the city.
Well, that's great. So, so commercial kitchen design, like a restaurant, or something like a restaurant.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. All right. So, here's your question: name the first African American woman elected to the U.S. Senate. The first African American woman elected to the U.S. Senate who achieved that famous female first.
First African American.
Yes.
Oh man.
She's famous and she's female. If you need a lifeline, Dave, Mary Vandeveld, and Andre are here.
Let's go with Dave.
Dave, really?
I was going to say, yeah. He's not going to know, but your choice.
Got to be honest,
I would go with Andre on this
one. Would not seem like a great choice, Kevin. I don't know. Now, wait on a second. So, Dave, you're choosing Andrea as your lifeline.
Yes, I am.
All right. So, Kevin choose Dave, who chooses Andrea.
Well, now I'm not sure if I should give him the right answer because I wasn't picked first. All right. Should I give him a hint?
No, just
hits
give him
very close to home.
Give him the answer.
My answer is Carol Moseley Braun.
All right, Kevin, you going to go with that?
You know, I trust her. I'm going to go with her as well.
All right, congratulations. Yeah, okay. And don't use the word Trump. Kevin, you're a big winner. There you go, and we're off and running. Jackson, Whiting, Indiana. Good morning, Jack.
How are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm good.
What do you do, Jack?
I'm retired, and right now I'm cutting tile because I got to finish off a shower enclosure.
Apparently you don't understand the meaning of the word retired, Jack. You're working too hard.
No, but I enjoy it. It's not work when you enjoy it.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel about this show. And so do the people who pay
me.
Me
too.
So, all right, so here's your question. Famous female first. She was the first female attorney general. Name that famous female. The first female attorney general.
The only thing that comes to mind is Condoleezza Rice, but I don't think she was the attorney general because she was secretary of state.
Now, you keep talking. He didn't name the answer. Now, let me explain something to you. Jack is doing a famous game show contestant move here where he rambles what might be the answer and hopes I jump in. But since he didn't say this, Jack is still playing the game. Would you like a lifeline, Jack?
Yes.
All right, so pick Andrea, Mary Vandeveld, or Dave.
By the
way, Dave was a huge failure in his first
season. Yeah, but I know this
Mary
one.
Vandeveld.
Mary Vandeveld.
Oh,
Mary.
Pressure. Oh, I'm going with the feisty Janet Reno.
Janet Reno. Jack, how do you feel about that answer?
I like that.
Congratulations. That's exactly right. It's Janet Reno.
Although I wouldn't call Janet Reno feisty.
Well, she's kind of feisty.
She's kind of feisty.
Just because you weren't picked, you don't have to criticize me.
Hey, failure. Settle down.
Hey, failure.
I knew that one.
She's intimidating, though.
John's in Orland Hills. Hi, John. How are you?
Fine, Steve. How are you today?
Doing great. Famous female first. She was the first woman elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Name that famous female.
Andrea Dilis, please.
Oh.
Andrea was not elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That is incorrect.
First female
elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm going to say the Queen. Is she the godmother of soul or the Queen of soul?
Queen of soul.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me.
Yeah. Aretha?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if I should actually say it. Yeah.
John, you going to go with Aretha?
Yes.
That's correct. That is unbelievable. I love when the listeners win. This is a smart group, this audience. Yeah. Because when they don't know, they know to ask.
It's very true.
All right, one more. Larry's in Vernon Hills. Larry, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Here's your question. First woman to swim from Cuba to Florida without a shark cage. Let me explain that. This is not the first female. This is the first person. First person to swim from Cuba to Florida without a shark cage. Name that famous female.
Andrea, the smartest person in the room.
Andrea, is smart.
Excuse me.
Hey, yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, this is a
sports question.
So, would you like to ask Dave to be your lifeline?
You know, we had her on the air, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
She was on Dancing with the Stars, and I can't think of her name.
Was she on Dancing? Yep.
Yeah, she was on Dancing. Yep. All right, my lifeline will be Dave Bennett.
Go Cats.
It's not a cat.
No, I know who it is. It's Diana Nyad.
Diana.
I don't need your help.
That's great.
You did too. That's, you looked at me and you went, oh, no.
That's great. That's great. Hey, Larry, you win.
Thank you.
All right, hold the line. And Dave, let me just explain something to you.
Yes.
When I hold up the answer, it's because I think you're stumped and I want the listener to win. It's like creative cheating.
But I knew the
answer.
It's
not an opportunity for you to call me out for helping the listeners.
You think he can read that?
Well, how come you didn't do it then with the Carol Moseley Braun question?
You don't even know her name now. It's already been on the air.
She's from Illinois, Dave. Jeez.
Carol Moseley Bowen.
And you have pretty decent handwriting.
I said bro.
Famous female first. Let's go live to booth announcer Mary Sadberg with these prizes.
Kevin's going to get an apt gift card, Pleasing People Since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Jack is going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Larry is going to get a MyPillow, guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
Do you have a MyPillow?
Visit MyPillow.com. Me?
Yeah.
I don't, but I'm going to get Pat 4 of them, if you recall.
Yeah, but why don't you have one? We should get you one.
We should, yeah, because I don't sleep, so I do need...
Do you like the pillow we have now?
I do like my pillow.
No, you're wrong. We're going to get you a MyPillow. All right, what's the final prize?
And the final prize is John is going to get Kristen Chenoweth album, Coming Home, featuring memorable songs from Broadway's television film, American Classics. Do you have more to read there?
That's all good. That's it. Coming Home. And congratulations. And qualifies John to go to the CSO to see the Kristen Chenoweth concert.
Yeah, which is awesome.
So there you go. All right, nicely done by all. You've been listening to the game show, which won't be heard again. Famous female first.
Guess what day it is?
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
First time in our nation's history that a woman will be a major party's nominee.
I am pretty good in arithmetic, and I know that the fight in front of us is a very, very steep fight. But we will continue to fight for every vote and every delegate we can get.
Together, we accomplished what nobody thought was absolutely possible. And you know what that is? We're only getting started, and it's going to be beautiful.
Unity is better than division. Empowerment is better than resentment. And bridges are better than walls.
I understand the responsibility of carrying the mantle, and I will never, ever let you down.
Next Tuesday, we continue the fight in the last primary in Washington, D.C.
Okay, I'll leave. I got some coupons. I got to get to Jewel anyway. I'll leave, but I'm not leaving until you tell me, Bernie, you're always welcome here. That's all I want, is a handshake, and Bernie, you're always welcome. It was a good contest. It was. I also want money. I want 20s. I want $100,000 in 20s. Oh, Bernie. I like Bernie.
I like Bernie, too.
We had him on the show several times. Yeah. It's always very nice. Bernie Sanders allegedly is going to step aside as soon as Friday and endorse Hillary Clinton, and President Obama will then be on the road, possibly by the end of the week, because he loves that campaigning. Mm-hmm. Obama's favorite part of being president. He'll be out there trying to drum up votes for Hillary, paying off a bet he had with the Clintons a long time ago. All right, there's a very serious situation going on that you need to be aware of as parents. YouTube challenges have been around for as long as YouTube's been around. And kids want to be recognized. They want to be part of a group. And peer pressure is a very dangerous thing. So there's something called the YouTube Fire Challenge. Now, this is first reported in 2014. It may go back as far as 2010. But before I get to the YouTube Fire Challenge, I'm going to tell you about some of the other popular challenges. The reason I bring this up is not to give your kid ideas. The reason I bring this up is because if you see any of the ingredients that go with these things around the house and your kid looks guilty and says, I'm not doing anything, you need to stop them. Hopefully you've taught them something in the meantime not to do this. All right, everybody remember the cinnamon challenge?
Oh, yeah, with the teaspoon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cinnamon challenge, swallow a spoonful of ground cinnamon in less than a minute without any water. Doesn't sound like a big deal. You ever try it?
It's awful.
Dry cinnamon coats the throat and mouth, does not dissolve very quickly. Gagging, vomiting, and inhalation of the powder into the lungs will send you to the hospital. It's not a game. Some have suffered lung scarring, emphysema, in one case, a collapsed lung. Stupid. Mm-hmm. Very, very stupid.
Remember the milk gallon one was up there, too? Drink a gallon of milk in less than, I think, this was when I was, well, I guess it was when YouTube first came out. Drink a gallon mm-hmm. of milk, right, without... Mm-hmm. No, you couldn't have like bread or anything that would like suck it out.
It'll just make you sick, though, right?
Right.
It's not going to put you in the hospital.
Overinflate your stomach. Didn't and
Governor Quinn do that with us?
Yeah, he did it right here.
Yeah, he did it right.
He did what?
No, cinnamon challenge.
The cinnamon challenge.
Well, that's why he lost the election. Do you know about the salt and ice challenge?
No,
I never heard of this. The salt and ice challenge: you pour salt on your skin and you place an ice cube on top of it. The ice cube adheres to the salt. And the chemical composition of the two makes the temperature where the ice cube is dramatically colder than the freezing temperature of water. It causes the body to go to extreme cold. Several participants, one as young as 12, had to be taken in for third-degree burns. Because remember, burns don't always come from heat. You know, your kids are young. Are your kids doing any of this stuff?
Oh, yeah. They're all about the YouTube challenges. Most of them harmless, but... silly. One of them in the winter was to put on a bathing suit and run outside and jump in the snow.
Yeah, so that's fine.
Except for you can slip and, you know, there's like extra little things. A lot of them include water in the bathtub type.
Well, there's a saltine cracker one.
Yes. Pop rocks, the candy that kind of explodes in your mouth. How many pop rocks you can put in your mouth, things like that.
How about this one, the no cry challenge? You watch 19 or 20 sob-worthy TV and movie clips on YouTube without crying.
You wouldn't last. Like.
I really wouldn't. No, I'd be mad.
I wouldn't either.
The banana and Sprite milk challenge. Eat two bananas and drink a can or a 1-liter bottle of Sprite without throwing up.
Ugh. Oh, it's horrible.
This is idiotic. The condom challenge. Insert a condom into your nostril.
Oh,
that's not where it goes. Insert a condom into your nostril, snort it back into your throat, and pull it out of your mouth.
Oh, come on.
That's... Well, milk goes the other way out, so I can see where a condom would go in.
Well, as one emergency room doctor pointed out, condoms are made to withstand pressure. If it gets lodged in your throat, you might not be able to get it out. Several people have had to have their life saved by EMTs. And if you're an EMT, don't you want to just slap them when you come to the house? What'd this idiot do? But that's got to be part of your day, I guess. You know the hot pepper challenge? The hot pepper challenge. Eat a hot pepper, preferably a ghost pepper.
Oh, those are the worst.
Or a pepper called the Trinidad Scorpion. I've never even heard of that. And film what happens next. Participants regularly cry, cough, or throw up. One NPR reporter tried this and hallucinated for 2 days.
Those ghost peppers are horrible. They did a thing on Man vs. Food about that, and there was some guy who actually ate 2 or 3 ghost peppers, and the lining of his stomach burned.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
It's not good. The cold water challenge, jump in an ice. Is this like what we were just talking about?
Yeah, that's the...
Jump in an icy lake, swim back to shore, nominate a friend to do the same. Swimming cold water, never a good idea. 2014, a 16-year-old Minnesota boy died after swimming out on a lake alone to compete in the challenge. Set his camera up on shore and then did it on his own and didn't make it back. So they got the video of the kid in his last few moments. But this fire challenge is an all-new level of stupid. It's called any number of different things. The fire, if you Google fire challenge, you'll get endless number of hits on this. The challenge consists of pouring rubbing alcohol on yourself and lighting yourself on fire.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
You then are supposed to put the blaze out before you sustain third-degree burns or burn your house down. A 15-year-old in Kentucky had second-degree burns recently. Several states have actually tried to enact laws to this specifically to protect kids from themselves. Why would you do one thing or something so stupid? Again, it's peer pressure. It's wanting social media hits. And it's being stupid at 15 or 16 and thinking you're invincible. So, again, if your kid suddenly has an interest in rubbing alcohol and matches, it's something you need to pay attention to.
You know what they're going to start doing? They're going to start putting the rubbing alcohol under lock and key. I actually went to Walgreens the other day. I'm not kidding you. I needed 3 things, and I needed a person from the service desk to come every time and unlock now what they're doing. Razors, soap, and Advil.
Advil you can't buy?
Nope.
Why can't you buy Advil?
Because they think you're either going to misuse it or maybe overuse it. I don't know, but that was under lock and key too. So you have to call.
Well, the cold meds have been under lock and key for a while. I remember when I was using Rogaine before I gave up, they put Rogaine under lock and key. That was always a good thing. You go, do I really want someone going, Rogaine, aisle 2?
But they're going to start putting rubbing alcohol, I bet, under lock and the peroxide, don't you think? Because they're all flammable?
Yeah, but then I just wonder, you know, can you pick up anything at Walgreens without security?
No, I did say when the guy came by the third time, I said, I promise this is the last thing I'm going to get except water. And I didn't think that was under lock and key.
It may be. Yeah, it may be. All right, so there you go. Consider it a warning because we're concerned about your kids, and we know you are as well. And just because you think your kids are smarter than the other kids, don't count on it. It's 9:18. Let's do this. We'll take a break. Come back on 720 WGN. So we're talking about knucklehead kids. Let's talk about good kids. We didn't do a kid of the week yesterday because we were live for the Chamber of Commerce thing. But don't let that stop you from nominating kids who aren't engaged in stupid YouTube challenges that could harm them. Maybe nominate a kid who gave up the YouTube challenges or passed on one with his friends or her friends. I don't know why I assume it's guys. Well, I guess because I'm a guy. And I just assume we're stupid.
No. Well, sometimes.
You know, to me, a YouTube challenge amongst girls who get along and act more grown up would be deciding who picks up the check.
Yeah. That would be a very funny video
for a YouTube challenge.
We should do that.
Yeah,
there you go. All the women go to lunch and then have a secret camera to see.
YouTube challenge is to try to let someone else pick up the check without saying no. I had the salad and putting in your $3.27 or whatever.
Or without bringing out your cell phone and pulling up the calculator.
Right, 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 right. See, I have a theory on that. Am I wrong about this? I think you guys just don't want the lunch to end. You just want to keep talking to each other.
Well, that is partially true. We like long lunches.
Because I know holiday times or whenever my family gets together, it's like the five stages of goodbye. Like you finish whatever the thing is. And my brother-in-law, Ian's great about this because, you know, his head's about to explode. He just wants people out of his house. And it's understandable. Or wherever we are. And there's the goodbye at the table. Because I start to get nervous. Like when you go out with a big group to a restaurant, I'm just not nervous, but I get uncomfortable that we're holding a table. I mean, it's a business. They need to flip the tables, right? So we're sitting there. We're sitting there, and it's the five stages of goodbye. It starts at the table. And then you go out, and then there's a goodbye at the door as you're walking out into the parking lot.
Right.
And then there's a goodbye as you walk to the cars, but it's really like the end of the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the goodbye there.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, there's two other stages, but those are around home visits. Because in the home visit, if you're leaving the house, there's the goodbye in the kitchen. There's the goodbye by the door where everybody puts their shoes back on. Mm-hmm. There's the goodbye out in the driveway, and then the goodbye in the car. And then there's the goodbye as you stand and wave.
But there's also...
It takes longer than the entire time you took to visit.
There's one more. The people that you forgot to say goodbye to.
That you go back for?
Oh, did you say goodbye to Stephen? You know, then
and
you have
call.
To go back in the house. Go all the way to where that person is, and you have to say goodbye to that person, too.
And then you have to call them in the car and say goodbye again.
Sandberg, you were flapping your wings in there like I did something wrong.
Well, I know the person that invented the five stages of goodbye.
What are you talking about?
You are the worst leaver I have ever met in my whole entire life, including all the women I know.
I try to leave this building, and people want to stop and ask me things.
He'll say, you know, hey, I got to get it right out of here, so I'm leaving 10:30. I'm leaving. I'm like, okay, and I'll do a sweep at 11:45, and then there he is, and he goes, I swear I'm leaving in like 15 minutes, and say, I'm leaving, but I'm actually leaving, and right. I leave the building, and then, you know.
I get sucked into things. Listen, I'm a giver. I just want people to, you know, be able to, you know, if someone has a question for me or I have to solve some big, great problem here at the tower.
Sign an autograph by
so
the elevator.
When we talk about times of meetings and leaving and such, and I say, well, are we Cochrane leaving or are we actually leaving? Because I'm trying to schedule in if I need an extra hour and 15 minutes.
That's pretty funny.
That is a good way to put it.
It's pretty funny. You haven't known me long enough to know that, yet that is actually true. That's completely true. Busted 127%.
There should just be a universal goodbye where you're either if you're at a restaurant or a house. Exactly. All right, later. And then you leave.
You guys leaving? Yep, bye. Bye-bye. Dave, you know what I'm talking about. The five stages of goodbye.
I went through it last night. We were out to dinner
with three
other
couples.
It's not
like you don't love your family. You love your family. You love your friends. It's just like, okay, right. It's over.
Just get up and stand up.
My wife and her friends and the guys all talk about it. We've known it ever since these girls went to college together. They've been friends forever. And when they start to say goodbye to each other, it's like, okay, start your watch now. We've got about another half hour, 45 minutes before we actually leave.
Well, the funny thing, too, is my brother-in-law, Ian, doesn't have a poker face. Remember, I used to talk to Ross and Kevin about this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ross and Kevin, they didn't even try. When they were bored or they didn't want to listen, they didn't even try. You just go, oh, really? You have no interest in what I'm saying? No, really, we do. But my brother-in-law, Ian, it couldn't be a better guy. But he just, you know, it's the end of the night. Here's the deal. He sees a point where he can now, people are leaving, he can clean up his home, he can take off his pants and just be himself. And yet, we won't leave. We won't leave. We're in the house. We're by with the shoes. Now we're by the car. Now we're in the car. And then somebody will forget something. We're coming back.
Well, it's worse in the winter, too.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have
coats,
to bundle up,
shoes.
Got to go out, start the cars, let them warm up, come
warm
back
the cars
in.
Up.
Yep.
Do you just do it to bug him?
No. Listen, I'm with him. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but you want to leave, but you never do.
We did a goodbye for Thanksgiving. It ended New Year's Day.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. And you know me, I don't make stuff up. It's 9:27. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Friend of the show, Ethan Hawke, will be standing by in a second. He's a writer, too. Actor, writer.
Hey, hey, hey.
Friend of the show.
What you got to say? Say, hey, hey, hey.
10 years. A project that took 10 years. A graphic novel by Ethan Hawke and New York Times bestselling author and illustrator Greg Ruth called Inde, a story of the Apache Wars. 1872, the Apache Nation was torn apart by decades of war and devastation. Families ripped apart. Everything they loved was destroyed. And the Apache leader, Cochise, and his son, and the entire Apache Nation, were led on an attack against a Mexican village for retribution. As I said, it's a graphic novel by Ethan Hawke. And it's called Inde, I-N-D-E-H. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. And Ethan Hawke will join us in just a moment to talk about it. When was the last time he was on? He was plugging a movie last time he was on.
Yeah, he was plugging an indie film that he was working on, I think.
And this is I-N-D-E-H, which is different. This is Inde.
Correct. Not as opposed to I-N-D-I-E.
Yeah, yeah. So we're standing by for
he's
Ethan
He's a
Hawke.
Great interview, though. I think he's a good guy. He's a really good actor.
Yeah, we like him. He's a good guy. At 9:42, we have more Kristen Chenoweth CDs to give away tomorrow. And you can qualify for the Kristen Chenoweth CSO appearance, which is coming up on June 20th with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Well, that's the winner of that. In the meantime, a couple other things to cover. Congratulations to Senator Mark Kirk. Not for his stance on Donald Trump. You can decide whether or not you like Trump. You're a grown-up. You know how I feel. But the fact that Senator Mark Kirk is sticking by his opinion of Trump, Trump's behavior, by saying, I can't support him and I won't support him, even though he is in a very difficult re-election race with Tammy Duckworth. Yeah. Tammy Duckworth, the congresswoman running against Kirk, she will be on with us on Friday. But Senator Kirk made a lot of news yesterday by saying, no, not going to do it. So you have a sitting Republican senator who said he's not going to support the Republican candidate. So that's a big deal. We are trying to get on. You know, I'm telling you, if these guys want to get elected, they need to get on the show. Gary Johnson and William Weld, the two governors from New Mexico and Massachusetts, are the president and vice presidential nominees for the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party will be on in all 50 states on every ballot, and we are making the effort on that. So just so you know, because a lot of you have texted about this, it's not without effort. We're doing it, and they're not stringing us along. It just hasn't happened yet. And finally, I've asked you to be patient because we're putting together a number of efforts to try to wake up the state of Illinois to the nonsense that's going on. But I've got a hashtag for you on Twitter. I'd like to know what the state of Illinois owes you money-wise, literally. How much money do they owe you? You can follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show and send it with a hashtag ILLIOU.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I-L-L-I-N-I.
I-L-L-I-O-U. In other words, that's the only way you're going to get your money. It's an I-O-U from I-L-L.
That makes sense.
So hashtag I-L-L-I-O-U and tell me how much the state owes you as we build a case against the nuts that run the state. It's 9:49. Our friend Ethan Hawke is standing by. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. Last time we talked, we were trying to remember what movie it was, but it wasn't that long ago.
No, I don't remember either.
It must have been good, though, because, I'm sure it was a big hit. Listen, I love the idea
I'm
that...
sure it was, too. In fact, I think one thing I remember is that it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was a can't miss. I love the idea of this book. How did you get interested in Native American culture, for starters?
You know, I guess you kind of have these moments... when you're growing up, where I was born in Austin, Texas, and grew up watching cowboy movies and stuff.
Sure.
And my father took me camping once, and all of a sudden, I was around the age of 13 or something. All of a sudden, I kind of realized that the stories I'd been being told were so much more complicated than they were being made to appear, and that a lot of the cowboys I've been rooting for weren't actually the good guys. And I started getting really interested in reading about First Nation people and culture. And I'm probably the same age as the writer Sherman Alexei. And in acting, I was getting to work. You know, when I did this movie, White Fang, and this is in answer to your question, there was a character, Gray Beaver, and he was played by a Native American actor, Pius Savage. And he brought me out. We were shooting Alaska, and he brought me to the reservation. I started seeing... the culture, there's the romanticized version of the Native American, then there's the reality of human beings, just like everybody, all of us. And I start realizing how much of the history just isn't known and how beautiful and valuable it is. And then I met this artist, Greg Ruth, and we talked about the idea of making a graphic novel out of the life of Geronimo and how it could be a really penetrating way to tell the story. Because, you know, there's so much white guilt around the story that people don't want to hear it. And they're just beautiful stories.
Right.
And so much to be learned.
Yeah, beautiful stories and stories of Native American history that need to be told. I'm a little older than you. I'm 55. I think you, what are you, 45 now?
45, exactly, yeah.
And but you and I both grew up the same way. Dave, you're the same way. You know, you grew up playing cowboys and Indians, and too many times the cowboys were the good guys and the Indians were the bad guys. But there was also this, for lack of a better term, whitewashing of the whole story. It's not a John Wayne movie. These are real people and real lives and real history.
And, you know, and then, and if you pay attention to that history, you can see so much of what's happening right now. I mean, in regards to what is human equality, what is, how do we define progress? You know, how do we take care of one another? You know, it's fascinating also when we have sometimes people think, oh, God, I can't believe none of the white community even cared what happened to these people. Well, you know what? That's not true.
Nope.
A lot of them did. They just lost those elections.
Yep.
You know, they lost those battles. It wasn't lost. A lot of people believe that human beings are equal and they see the sameness in us and that all of us fear harm and love our fathers and mothers and, you know, want to do well. And this particular community, you know, to tell the story of the Apache Wars is so interesting to me. Because if you take a guy like Geronimo, I mean, he didn't really meet a white person until he was almost 30. And by the end of his life, he was in Teddy Roosevelt's inaugural parade.
How about that?
I mean, the world completely changed around him. And this is a human experience that is worthy of a great novel, you know? I mean, I'm saying, not saying we did it, but we tried. And
no, I'm telling you. I've not read the book yet, but I've seen the illustration. The illustrations are tremendous. Obviously, the story is tremendous. By the way, it's in-depth. Story of the Apache War is out and available everywhere. Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. And by the way, if you get two copies of the Ethan Hawke book, I'll actually drive you to the movie we forgot that we plugged. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I've got that.
You know, I'm coming to Chicago this weekend. You know, there's a book fair this weekend, and Greg Ruth and I are going to be at the Wentz Concert Hall at 5:30, talking about the book and on Saturday.
So you're Printers Row Lit Fest, right? Yeah, Printers Row Lit Fest at the Harold Washington Library Center. That's at 2:30, and then in Naperville at the legendary Anderson's Bookshop at 5:30.
Exactly.
That's going to be cool. Ethan, I think this is so cool because there's a whole generation that doesn't even know who Geronimo is. So I think it's perfect to do it. And I love the illustrations. Talk about the artist.
Well, his name is Greg Ruth. And I actually came across his work through buying my son Conan Born on the Battlefield, which is an incredible graphic novel. And through my son, I started learning, you know, that the way we tell stories is changing. You know, our relationship, you know, everybody has a phone now. There's more pictures taken probably in the last 3 years than in the previous 100.
Sure.
You know, we're so aware of photography now, and storytelling is changing. And the graphic novel is kind of an amazing collage of literature and art. And so in a lot of ways, this is an art book, you know, and I think it can penetrate and get inside your imagination. It's just different than a movie and different than a poem. But it can, at its finest, can combine the best aspects of both. I was really moved by it, and Greg really became my teacher about it. And we're hoping to expose, you know, some people love graphic novels. Some people have never picked one up. And the power of this story, I'm hoping, will get people who've never even read a graphic novel to realize what an incredible medium it is.
Good thing to share with your kids, too.
That's for sure.
It's INDEH, A Story of the Apache Wars. And get it. And you're always welcome here, man. Enjoy your day.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, and have a great time on your show.
Thanks, bud. That's Ethan Hawke, and we like Ethan a lot. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. All right, so Bill and Wendy coming up in just a second. We just looked through the last 2 years of Ethan Hawke movies, and he's made about 9 of them, mm-hmm. Or he's appeared. Well, a couple are still coming out. Let's say 7 movies in the last 2 years, and I can't for the life of me remember what movie you plugged last time he was on, and it was less than 6 months ago.
I can't either. But, you know, because he was on with us, remember, last year before the Oscars promoting, was it Boyhood?
Yeah, he was promoting Boyhood. He's been on like 4 times in the last year and a half.
Yeah, but I don't remember. It was earlier this year.
And I just named you all the movies he's done. And look, if he can't remember, he was in the movie.
I know. But he was on it. It was really good. someone else, movie and the interview.
Someone else just reminded me I never finished the plug for Kid of the Week, which I started a half an hour ago.
Oh, yeah.
Send your entries in to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your entry for Kid of the Week. And Ray and Raymond Chevrolet in Fox Lake and in Antioch are going to award a $5,000 Kid of the Year prize later this year. Bill and Wendy are here. They're suiting up right now. They're putting on their race gear.
And, hello, Steve.
Ready to rock. So, Wendy, let me talk to you for a second. Because, you know, you and I have addressed what appears to be a true bromance between Bill and Dave Ennett.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Jealous.
I understand that later this week, Dave will be filling in for you with Bill.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
What day is this?
On Friday.
Wendy didn't even know she had the day off.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So you're taking it to the next level.
We talked about it. We're both comfortable with that. So, yeah, we are taking it to the next level.
Hey, Kevin, make sure you have the theme from Love Story ready to roll throughout the whole show.
That should be your bump for every break. Yeah.
But neither one of them said no.
You know, Dave,
I like the music of Michelle Legrand.
Oh, my God.
Bill, after, are you going to take him for a long walk and treat him to a nice dinner?
If that's what he wants, yeah.
And, Dave, you know this. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Yeah.
That's very well said.